Serve as our text this morning. You may as well want to turn to Matthew 1 and John 1. We will actually begin this morning considering verses from there before we look to our text in Isaiah. The Christmas season is upon us, isn't it? I know that the holidays can mean different things for each one of us. I know this to be true. I believe this to be true. The holidays can have a tendency to magnify the positives in our life, but also to magnify the negatives. I know the holidays can be a difficult time for some. There's more than one family in our church. This Christmas will be different than any other because it will be celebrated for the first time without a loved one. This year has been a year of significant loss for them. And the holidays, though they can magnify the wonder of family, the joy of family, the holidays can have a tendency as well to magnify the feelings of grief related to loss. This holiday season, very much about family and loved ones, and the holidays have a tendency to magnify the joy that we get in spending time. Many of us already looking forward to that Christmas Eve or that Christmas Day or whenever it is that the family, the kids come over, the grandkids, all of us together as we celebrate Christmas as a family. I understand, though, that for some, family life is not all that we would hope it to be. It's not love and joy and peace and all the feelings of goodwill. Maybe in our family, it's strife and anger, bitterness. There's conflict. Maybe in our family, there's come some separation, some division. Maybe for some, the holidays serve simply to remind them of their loneliness and their aloneness. I know that though the holidays can be a most wonderful time of the year, they can also be a most busy time of the year. The pressure weighs heavy on us. Getting the decorations up, finding time to be at all the Christmas gatherings and dinners and kid programs, getting all the shopping done. I know this is true as well. The devil doesn't seem to care anything about our calendar. If there's one time of year that the devil should be made to leave us alone, would it not be this time of the year? But he doesn't. He won't. And so for some of us, we'll spend this Christmas on the battlefield, fighting our way to victory over the enemy. I do know, I do understand, Christmas is not the same for all of us all the time. But can I remind you this morning? It is the season of our dear Savior's birth. And for that, isn't it true? It really is the most wonderful time of the year. I know that maybe not all is well in us or for us, but despite that, we remember Christ, our Savior, born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. What a season this is then. Tidings of great comfort and great joy. Jesus Christ is born today and he hath opened the heavenly door. Man is blessed forevermore. Now we need not fear the grave. Peace, peace. Jesus Christ was born to save. Oh, then rejoice. Good Christian men and women, rejoice. The Christmas season is upon us. I pray that for all of us, no matter the things going on around us, that this truly would be a most wonderful, delightful time for each one. Enjoy these next few weeks. Don't forget to enjoy this Christmas season. Not because of the hustle bustle, not because of the chaos, not because of all that's magnified, positive and negative, but enjoy it because it is the celebration of Jesus born in Bethlehem's manger. You know, anymore, especially in the context of our day and in our culture, maybe even very specifically in our country, one of the great fears of Christianity is that Jesus gets lost in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. That Christmas almost, in fact, becomes about everything except our Lord. So this morning, the message is simply this. It's a reminder of him. It's Isaiah's prophetic word concerning the one to be born in Bethlehem. Before that, though, I want to begin with this, the reminder of this. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own. His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, isn't it beautiful this morning? Jesus in flesh appearing, the light and the life. I like the way that the Message phrases it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The reminder of Christmas is the reminder of a God who makes His dwelling to be with men. Matthew chapter 1, Matthew's account of Jesus' birth. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had it in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Before we consider Isaiah's description and reminder to us of Jesus, in fact, the reminder, the description that we're about to consider, I want us to premise it all. I want us to build it all. I want us to consider it all in light of this reality this morning. First, this is a sort of foundation for us. And in fact, on this first Sunday of December, as we begin now to navigate our way through the holiday season that for sure is upon us, we make this to be the starting point so that everything about this holiday season is experienced through this reality. This first, this reminder first. I would put it to you this way. We do not serve a Jesus that was simply born in a manger, lived, died, resurrected, and now, in fact, coming again one day. We serve a Jesus that lives with us, that lives among us today. We serve a Jesus that dwells among us. We serve a Jesus that walks and talks with us. We serve a Jesus that is with us. Can I make it personal for you this morning? He is with you. Do you believe that this morning, that He really is just as close as the mention of His name? He is with you. He is with me. He is with us. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand fully the ramifications of it, the beauty of it, the glory of it, the blessing of it? He is with you. Yes, I know you're in His house. Pastor, of course He's with me, but you misunderstand. When you walk out those doors, He's with you. When you're driving in your car, He is with you. When you're at the workplace, the 9-to-5 busyness, He is with you. When you're alone, feeling alone, in fact, you're not, because He is with you. That's the message this morning. He's Emmanuel. He's the God with us, God. He's the light of the world. He'd become flesh so that he might dwell among us, so that he might dwell with us. That first. Listen to me this morning. Hear all that the prophet Isaiah is about to speak to us and remind us of this morning. Hear all that the Spirit would speak to your heart through God's word today. Hear it all through the filter of that. God with us. Dwelling with us. Now then, Isaiah, the reminder, the reason for this season, a reminder of Jesus, lest we forget him, lose him in the midst of the holiday chaos, a reminder of Bethlehem's baby, this newborn king. One verse, Isaiah 9, you know it already, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In John, he's the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that is God. He's the Word that is the light and the life. He's the Word that gives the right to become children of God. He's the Word that became flesh to dwell among us. In Matthew, he's Jesus, the Savior from mankind's sin. In Matthew, he's Emmanuel, the God with us, God. But in Isaiah, he's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. This morning, that reminder of Jesus for us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. In Hebrew, two words. The first, wonderful. It's to be beyond understanding. It's to be too wonderful for words. We sing that, don't we? You're beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You're beautiful beyond description. Majesty. Enthroned above. And oh, no wonder then we stand in awe. Oh, we stand in awe of him, holy God, to whom all praise is due. We stand in awe of you. He is wonderful, isn't he? It's the word ever only used of God. He's not just wonderful then. He's incomparably wonderful. He's wonderful beyond any and everything else. There is no one, there is nothing wonderful like him. This is the word of Isaiah. To us a child is given. To us a son is born. And there are no words to describe just how wonderful he is. And he is the counselor. The word is to advise, to consult, to guide. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, we don't serve a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He is our high priest. He's our Savior. He is God in the flesh. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the one who knows the beginning from the end. He is the all-wise God. He knows you. He understands you, your struggle, your difficulty, your battle. He understands all that you're going through, all that you're dealing with. He understands you. He knows you. Isaiah reveals to us the Messiah to be born, this son to be given. He would be the incarnation of perfect wisdom. He would have the words of eternal life. He would be wonderful beyond description and comprehension. He would be the Wonderful Counselor. Who better to be for us a wonderful counselor than Jesus? Just quickly then, listen, be honest with your wonderful counselor. Don't hide from him. Not you. Not your guilt, not your shame, not your doubt, not your frustration, not your anger, not your disappointment, not your questions, not anything. Psalm 55, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He'll never let the righteous fall. Listen, don't withhold from Him any of your cares, any of your concerns. Be honest, be authentic, be real when with the wonderful counselor and listen to Him. Mark chapter 9, it's a beautiful story of Jesus on the mountain in all of His heavenly glory. And Peter and James and John are there to behold it. And the voice from heaven, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. In Mark 9, a voice came from the cloud. This is My Son whom I love. Listen to Him. I tend to think in light of even our church culture today, if there's any three words that God would speak to His church again in this moment for this hour, to you and to me, to any and all of His children, maybe in fact it would be these three same words. Listen to Him. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. Listen to Jesus. Some of you are trying to live life not listening to Him. Some of you this morning, your ears are deafened to His Spirit's voice of conviction in your life. He's telling you, you need to stop that. You need to quit doing that. You need to quit thinking like that. You need to quit talking like that. You need to quit acting like that. And you're closing your ears to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Listen to your counselor when he speaks to you. And maybe then this above all else, don't just listen to Him, do what He says. Obey Him, no matter what. Listen, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, I pray that you would hear me this morning. The wonderful counselor wants to speak into your life today. He wants to speak His counsel into your life today. Let Him do that. Listen for Him to do that. Jesus says this, My sheep, they know My voice. They listen for My voice. Listen, but hear me this morning. When you hear the wonderful counselor, we don't just rejoice in what we've heard from the Lord. There's a responsibility now in our lives that we do what the counselor has told us to do, that we're obedient to Him. If we don't obey Him, we're destined to live unfulfilled, even defeated lives. If we don't obey Him, we live lives that fall far short of what Jesus died for us to have. We live lives that break the heart of God. James, we must be doers of the word. When the wonderful counselor speaks, be sure you do what he says. Do what he says for you to do, no matter what. Remember Jesus, the child born, the son given, he that is to you and me, the wonderful counselor, and he will be called Mighty God. Oh, isn't it true? We sing that as well. Great and mighty is he. Oh, great and mighty is he. Isn't it true? He is the Almighty God. He is the creator of the universe, God. Jeremiah 32, Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. He's the all-knowing God. He's the always present with us God. As Jeremiah put it, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing impossible for Him. He is the omnipotent, the all-powerful God. Related to His power, can I just remind you this morning, His power is at work in you this morning. Philippians chapter 2, for God is at work within you, helping you want to obey Him and then helping you to do what He wants. In our culture today, in the Christian world today, listen to me, brother, we may tend to think different. Listen to me, sister, we may even hear it preached different. But this morning we turn to the truth of Scripture, and contrary the way you would like for it to be, and the contrary maybe to the way you've been told it would be or should be, God's power at work in you is not for the purpose of making life easy for you. Let's be honest this morning. Come on, you're with me. My life is uncomfortable. Hey, God, your power needs to be at work in me right now to make my life more comfortable. But that's not scripture. We read it in Philippians, God's work in you. For what purpose? Helping you want to obey him. And then to do what he tells you to do. God's power is at work in you so that you can be changed. Not so that you be more comfortable, so that you might learn better to obey him. It's so you might become more and more like him, so that in you might be less and less of you and more instead of him. Maybe times you don't easily see it. Maybe times you don't easily recognize it. But nevertheless, it's still true. Hear me this morning. God's power is at work in you today. Not just that, but as well, God's power is at work for you. Oh, isn't that good news this morning? God's power. Listen to me. You that are struggling in illness, you that are struggling in financial burdens, you that are struggling with relational problems, with difficulty in the workplace, you that are about to lose your job, lost your job, taking a pay cut, whatever it is, you that life is a battle right now that rages in your soul. Hear me today. God's power is at work for you. Isaiah Chapter 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God that created the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. I wonder if there's somebody weary here this morning. Listen to God's word. He gives you strength today and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. When you're tired, too weary even, it would seem to go any further. When you've been a long time in the battle and are no longer sure you have the strength to fight another day. When you're in over your head. When you don't know what to do, even when there's nothing you can do. Remember always this. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth by his great power. The Lord with whom there is nothing too hard, nothing too difficult, nothing impossible. He is working for you. And don't forget this. God's power is at work through you. That's simple enough, isn't it? The mighty God. He works his mighty power in me, for me, through me. I would just remind you this morning, as a follower of Christ, you are also a minister of Christ, because God desires to work his power through you. Listen to me. You might think this morning that you are most ordinary. In fact, child of God, you are not, because God's power, the power of a most extraordinary God, is at work in you and for you and as well at work through you. Listen to me. I see you this morning. I know who you are. Listen to me. I'm talking to you here, not somebody out there. Well, Pastor, you must be thinking of another church. You must be thinking of another group of people. Listen, I'm talking to you. You can be a world changer because of his power at work through you. You can be a gospel proclaimer. You can be a sick person healer. You can be a devil cast outer. You can do it all because of his word, his power at work in your life, his power at work for your life, and his power at work through your life. Listen to me. If you think you can't, if you think you could never do that, I'm just going to tell you the way it is this morning. Forget the rest of the world that's forgetting the meaning of Christmas. You've forgotten it. You've forgotten to us a child given, a son born, who will be called the mighty God. And his power and his might at work in me and for me and through me. The Christmas season is here. Through it all, may you remember Jesus, the mighty God. And he will be called Everlasting Father. For to us a child is born, a son is given. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The writer of Hebrews will tell us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's being. Asked by Philip to show the disciples the Father, Jesus will reply, anyone who has seen me, anyone who has seen him, has seen the Father. Jesus comes and shows to us, reveals to us perfectly and completely our everlasting Father God in heaven. But more than that, he comes to himself be for his people, their compassionate Father. Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and tender towards those who don't deserve it. He's slow to get angry and full of kindness and love. You know, our tendency is to consider the everlasting Father in light of our earthly Father. And it's understandable that we would do that. We hear Father and we immediately filter that through our own experience with our own Father. But the reality, we're wrong to do it like that. We consider the everlasting Father instead, always and only, through his word, through the revelation of himself to us. Some of you maybe this morning are struggling in your relationship with God because you're viewing the everlasting Father through your relationship with your own Father. Your own Father that was there to always reprimand you when you did wrong. You live in fear and trembling before God, thinking he's all the time just waiting to be able to bring the hammer down on you. He's almost looking forward to you messing up so he can bring the conviction, he can bring the discipline, he can bring the change to you. Some of you lived life with your father never speaking good words, kind words, and you don't think God has ever anything good to say to you because your own father never did. Maybe your own father was never there for you. No wonder you go through life filtering God through that reality, wondering if God's with you now in the struggle that you're facing. Understandable that we would do it that way. We've all done it that way, but listen, we've all been wrong in that. Because we see God through the revelation of his word. We know God through the revelation of his word. Revealed to us through the pages of scripture then is this reality. Jesus, he's the everlasting Father who loves you, who loves me, who loves us. Jeremiah 31, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. The message puts it this way. God told them, I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, 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 and more love still. He is the everlasting Father who cares for us, who longs to have relationship with us, who goes with us. Isaiah 43, one of my most favorite portions of all scripture. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He's the everlasting Father who promises to never leave us nor forsake us, who graciously and compassionately and so, so carefully watches over us. We are, you are, I am the apple of his eye. He knows us by name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. A mother, impossible for her to forget the baby at her breast. But even if she could, God would never be able to forget us. Jesus is the everlasting Father who protects us, who is our rock and our fortress, our deliverer, our stronghold, our strong tower. He's the everlasting Father who graciously and benevolently, abundantly supplies for the needs of his children. Listen to this in Psalm 37. I was young, now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Philippians, Paul says it this way, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus, he's the everlasting Father who teaches us, who guides us, who sometimes disciplines us. He also always forgives us. Psalm 130, I love it. It's beautiful. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? if he kept a record of sin, we're all doomed for a destiny separated from him in an eternal hell. If thou, O Lord, should take note of sin, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. And so you're to be feared. The message says, God, if you kept a record of wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit. And so you're to be worshipped. Micah 7, where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing mercy. He will always forgive us, and his will is always to redeem and to restore us. That is Jesus, your everlasting Father. Remember him this Christmas season. And finally, he'll be called the Prince of Peace. This is a season of peace. We call it that, goodwill toward men. For many, it seems that somehow, unbeknownst to us, flip the calendar page from November to December, and the anxiety switch gets flipped on in our lives. For many of us, it's not until the day after Christmas, shopping done, presents open, family left, only then finally peace on earth experienced in our lives. And then only that peace until the first credit card statement comes and life goes on. This morning, one more time from Isaiah, the prophetic word, let it settle deep in your heart and in your spirit. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, listen, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Listen, as I just speak it into your life this morning, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The Hebrew, he's the Sar Shalom. Sar, he's the one in charge. He's the captain. He's the Lord. He's the chief. The Shalom, that's the rest. That's tranquility. That's wholeness. That's completeness. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the captain of rest. He's the Lord of tranquility. He's the chief of contentment. He is the Prince of Peace. Listen to me this morning. As we live under his Sar, we are promised his Shalom. My brother, my sister, you have to hear me this morning. You cannot live outside his will. You cannot live outside his purpose and his plan for your life. You cannot refuse in your life to live under his lordship. You cannot reject him as your captain, as your chief, and still expect his Shalom. It doesn't work that way. And yet, the truth be told, if we're honest in this room, so many of us, that's exactly how we try to do life. We try to take hold of his Shalom without making him to be our Sar. We could look at areas in our own lives, even today. Jesus, the Lord of my marriage? No, not really. Jesus, the Lord of my calendar? No, I hardly have any time for him. Jesus, the Lord of my checkbook? No, I don't think we need to do any of that tithing, giving, offering stuff. Jesus, Lord, in every area of my life? No, Pastor, if I'm honest, I can show you this area here. I can show you that over there. Jesus, the Lord, in my purity, my righteousness, my holiness? No, because I'm not doing what I know I should be. I'm not living according to the standards of Scripture. Jesus, my Sar. But his Shalom? Oh yeah, Pastor, I want that. Tell me, Pastor, how to get more of that Shalom in my life. We wonder, in fact, even as we sit here knowing that there is so much of our life where he is not the Lord, we wonder this morning while peace is lacking inside of us. Listen, if you don't live under his Sar, if you reject his Sar, you lose his Shalom. Under him, under his lordship, we have, we experience His peace. It's a peace that passes understanding. When your world is falling apart, when everything in you and around you seems to be chaos personified, the Tsar Shalom comes and gives to you a peace that the world cannot understand, nor can the world take away. John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Philippians chapter 4, Paul will write, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." If there would seem to be anything and everything except peace in your heart in life today, listen to the Tsar Shalom. Don't be anxious. Come to me. Call out to me. Present your requests, your petitions to me. And my shalom will guard your heart and your mind. I fear we would be remiss this morning if we didn't finish considering the peace that Jesus brings between us and God. Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians, Paul will go on to say, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." A child is born, a son is given, and he is the Tsar Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace who makes you to be at peace with a holy God in a troubled world. We finish this morning now where we began, back to John and Matthew. Reminder, he's not just a Jesus born in a manger, dead on a cross, resurrected from a tomb, coming again soon. Reminder, he's Jesus who dwells among us. He is Jesus, the Emmanuel, the God in the room, God. The God with us, God. This morning, my prayer for you, especially for you during this Christmas season, that you make the connection. John, Matthew, Isaiah, listen to me. He is the wonderful counselor. Don't miss this. Remember this. The wonderful counselor is with you. The wonderful counselor dwells with you, even in fact resides inside of you. The wonderful counselor has come here this morning to meet with you. You can meet with the wonderful counselor today and be honest with him and hear from him and have opportunity to obey him right here, right now. Are you going through something that's difficult that you don't have the answer for? Good news. The wonderful counselor is in the room, and his calendar is open for you. Yes, he has time. Yes, he can sit and talk with you for a few moments today. He's the wonderful counselor, and he walks with you, and he talks with you. Are you nervous for what lies ahead in the weeks to come for you in this holiday season? Good news! The wonderful counselor is going to walk with you out those doors and reside with you and dwell with you. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And don't miss it. Remember this. The mighty God is with you. You don't have to leave this room the way you entered it. Your life can be radically changed because of His power. Because the mighty God is here with us today. Are you sick? Is there pain in your body? Is there a need in your marriage? Is there a problem at the work? Oh, I'm telling you, it is the reason we celebrate this holiday season. The mighty God has come, and He dwells with us. He's here right now. Do you understand that this morning? Mighty God, heal me. Mighty God, provide for me. Mighty God, deliver me. Mighty God, work in my life. He's the everlasting Father that dwells with you. Today, listen to me. You can experience His love and His compassion. Oh, Pastor, but you don't know what this week has been for me. I reverse that. You don't know the everlasting Father. Because His love today, His compassion today, His care, His protection, His provision, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. He is Jesus in flesh appearing. He's Emmanuel God. He's in the room here and now. Do you need an everlasting Father to take you up in His arms? Good news. The everlasting Father has been born and dwells today among His people. And the Sar Shalom goes with you as you go into this holiday season. His peace. No matter the chaos of your life, His peace beyond your ability to comprehend, His peace can saturate your life, guard your heart, and protect your mind. The Sar Shalom has come. And peace is promised to you and me as we live under His Lordship. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on His shoulders, and He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads in this room this morning, just quickly? We're finished. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Just trust the power of God in His Word to work in your heart. I know you've heard it. I know we've read it. Listen, let the Spirit of God minister to you today exactly what you would need from Him. And He will be called. Here it is, my brother. Listen, listen. Wonderful Counselor. And He will be called. Listen, you're here in this room and you need to know this. And He'll be called the Mighty God. Some of you feel neglected. Listen, truth be told, just could be honest, you feel orphaned by God. You're not an orphan, you're an heir. Listen to me, you're not an orphan, you're an heir. And this morning, you need to hear it. You need to let your life be changed by it. He's the everlasting Father. And the last, you know. Receive it this morning. He's the Prince of Peace. Father, I don't know what of this, maybe all of it, that would speak to the hearts of this people. So Holy Spirit, I just leave room right here, right now for you to do that. Most of all, I simply pray that we would none of us forget Jesus dwells with us. Jesus is the Emmanuel God with us God. He's with us in the room. He'll be with us as we leave. He'll be with us as we go through the week. He'll be with us as we go through the holiday season. And because He is with us, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace is with us every second, every moment of our lives. May we remember that. That's my prayer, that we would not forget it, not ever, but especially not in the weeks to come. Jesus in flesh appearing. The light and the life, the Word dwelling with us, Emmanuel, has come. the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is with us. May it radically change this holiday season for each one in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, would you come quickly this morning before you leave?